splendor of the King. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Oh, sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. H to H, hallelujah. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Oh, sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is the name above all names. So God, he's the name above all names. He is the name above all names. So worthy of our praise, my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God? How great is our God? Oh, sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how our God. One last time. How great is our God? How great is our God? Oh, sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great, how great. Good morning. Good morning. I wanted to sing page 6 in The Only Believe. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Amen. 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 It's good to be here this morning. Looking forward to the services. Excited to see what God's going to do.
Amen.
There is a name I love to hear.
Yes.
I love to sing its voice. Amen. It sounds like music in my ears. Sweetest name on earth. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweet of a Savior's love. It tells me of my Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me sinner's perfect plea, singing, oh, how I love Jesus, singing, oh, how chorus again. Hallelujah. Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Singing, oh, it tells of one whose loving heart. It tells of one whose loving heart can heal my deepest woe. None can bear me.
love me one last time. Amen. Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Sister Sue.
Sure gave us the love for one another and for him. It's amazing. I think without him, we wouldn't feel this love that we feel. I know it's not the kind of love we're going to feel after a while, but I sure do like this love, too.
Amen.
You know?
I enjoy it.
He's given me my husband of 53 years today.
Amen.
Amazing.
We've made it through the thick and the thin, and he knew we needed to be together, you know, because we support each other and we love each other and we love him.
Amen.
So I just thank God that I have this truth, you know, that I can stand on it, and that I am an elder. Brother John kind of insulted me one day. I was walking by the church, you know, and he said, "Well, my elder." I thought, "You're elder. You're almost as old as I am." But it's an honor. I take that back now. I appreciate being your elder, Brother John.
Amen.
And everybody else is elder, too, that I'm elder, too. And I just thank God that he's given me these years here on earth, you know, and that he's given me this truth. That's the main thing he could have ever given me, is this word. And I just thank God for it.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Sue. Brother Mike.
So glad to be here.
Amen.
When I come in here, all my hurt, all my cares just melts away.
Yes. Sure. Yes.
The word takes over and lifts me up. Yesterday I went down to see my mom. She's 94 now. And she had a bunch of Bible questions she asked me, and I answered them. Amen. And when I gave her the answer, she goes, "My, I've never looked at it like that." And I said, "Yeah." And unless a prophet brings the truth, then you can't see it.
That's right.
You won't understand the word unless you know the truth.
Right.
And, you know, I was thinking, deep down inside me, past the weakness of this flesh, he dwells in me.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know why, but when the word comes across my heart, something deep down inside says, "Amen." Cries it out. Agrees with it.
That's right.
And then I stand on it. Amen. And, you know, I don't know how people lose their loved ones without this revelation. I don't know how they go through it without any God at all. I guess they depend on alcohol and drugs or whatever, but without God, I'd have never made it. And he comforted me, he spoke to me, and he got me through it.
Amen, amen.
I thank the Lord for being here.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for all he's done for us.
Yes,
I appreciate
yes.
everything. And you know, Brother Jeremiah was preaching down there Thursday, and it was beautiful. He was talking about true fellowship.
Amen.
And the word of God, and you know how we don't look at those temporal things, you know, the things that the different doctrines or the different things that we've put so many people out for. And I just thank God that he sees the heart.
Amen.
He said he knows the thoughts and intents. He's so wonderful and he's so mighty, and I love him so much. He brings us through everything. Everything. Let me see. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I've felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. And I thank him for the mountains. And I thank him for those valleys. And I thank him for those storms he's brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I'd never know my God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in his word can do. Amen. So why can't we see it? Oh, through it all. Yes, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. To trust in God, oh, through it all. Yes, through it all. Oh, I've learned to depend upon his word. Oh, yes, I've learned to depend upon his word. You know, it's through those times. It's through those times that we go through, we get our character. That's and right. He builds us and he lets us know he loves us. And we trust him. That's and he just gets better. And then we slay the lion. We slay the giant. We do it all because he's been through everything with us. Amen. And I love him.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
I was just thinking that through it all, God's just been so good to us. And I'm so thankful for this place. And I love it so much, and I love the revelation we get here. I just love this body so much. It's such a blessing to me to see all my examples get up here and strengthen me, and I love every song and every testimony. And I was just in there. I was thankful. Like, this is a humble bride. I was sitting there, and I was thinking when Brother Brandon was talking about the messengers, he never directly said, like, I'm the prophet. He was like, he gave the, like, characteristics, and he said it'd be the most vindicated and all these things. I was like, but this bride is so powerful, yet so humble, and it's just God is this group of people, and it's just so amazing to see. It's so real to me, and I'm so thankful. And I was wondering, I know it looked like Brother Don had a song, but after that, I was wondering if we could sing that before we leave today. Lord, I just need you, because my throat's sore, and I can't really sing, but that's all I need is God, and that's the only thing that's going to get us through, and I'm just thankful.
Amen. You guys can be seated.
We'll just go ahead and sing that song. Lord, I need you now.
Yeah, we'll sing it. You're after her. She got it.
I had a song I want to do.
Amen.
All right, I hope this.
Amen.
You know, I'm so grateful to be here. I was just thinking about this revelation. You know, I can't help but have this. I can't help but understand it. And there are people, we were watching The Chosen. It's a fantastic show, and it's about the life of Jesus. And these Jews, they talked about a Messiah constantly. They were looking for the Messiah, and he was there doing all the things that they prophesied,
right.
And they missed him, and they killed him. You know, and it's just, I thank God so much that he put it in me. You know, I was thinking also, we had that shower yesterday, and there are some strong elder sisters here
right.
that I am so thankful to have in my life. You know, I've looked them. My mom helped me raise my children, you know. I thank God so much for that. And you know, the body we have here, and I know this isn't the only place, but this is my family, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm proud of this family. And you know, it's a strong family. And I was just also thinking, I want to give my husband some flowers.
Yeah.
So Thursday, he went to work, and I didn't see him until 9 or 10, and he came home exhausted because he puts the word first.
Right.
You know, he went to work, and then he went and he picked up the Moors, and he went and he preached his heart out. And I thank God so much that I have a man in my house that has that foundation.
Right.
He puts in me, he puts in my children, and you know, we're blessed for it. And that rock, it's just all around me. My friends, my family, I'm just so thankful to have that in my life, you know. And it's such a blessing to sit out here and to worship, to raise my hands. You know, I thank God so much for what he's done for me, and I don't want to ever take it lightly.
Oh, amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Brother Mike.
Yeah, I was just excited. Something came together for me. I was thinking of the three in earth, the water, the blood, and the spirit, and these three agree in one. And I was thinking of that, and then I really saw it. There were three. The water, Noah's Ark, the blood, Calvary, and since that mountain, the spirit, when the spirit came to earth. And everyone who believes those three, that was a part of that, they do believe in the one God. That was a testimony to everyone throughout all the ages that it's still just God moving through the whole thing, keeping his people safe. And it's just like giving birth. You have water, blood, spirit. For there to be life, you have to have those three.
Right.
And I see that on earth. The three had to occur for there to be this life on earth. And how much we do agree in the one God throughout there. And I just appreciate that. That scripture kind of, I had questions about it. It just really pulled together when they were preaching on that.
Amen. God bless you. Yep. Your last one.
Sister Christy, I'm so proud of you. That was so beautiful. You know, that's what having a revelation for yourself looks like. You know, it comes a point in time where, you know, I'm not going to wait for my brother. I'm not going to wait for my sister. I got to praise God for myself because I got something in me. And, you know, I just been so just privileged to just have this word. And, you know, what the ministry brings forth and the things that, you know, sometimes you take for granted, like, you know, the remind, you know, that's a really big help for me. And seeing the last message coming in and, you know, it said, hey, these are the script, these are the, you know, pages that you will want to read for the church page. So, you know, out of all the things we do on a day-to-day basis, and a lot of us are all busy, but Pastor told me one day, he said, you always want to make time for God.
Absolutely.
And so I shut everything down at the house. You know, the kids were playing games and everything. I was going to get into doing some other things for my next job. And I said, no, I got to put this down. And I said, shut the games off. Shut everything off. Come out here and live. And we sat there and, you know, we read through each of the things that, you know, the minister's trying to bring for a Bible study. And, you know, I never really read the church age book. I read Christ and Mystery, but not the church age book. And what I loved about it was like when they were introducing each messenger, the way they brought them forth, they talked so good about them. Like they were just, I mean, they were awesome. They all had a fight in them. You know, every one of them had some kind of militant kind of spirit, and they were always going against, you know, the world, you know, pretty much. But how much more are we, you know? It was great through the ages. They had the part word, but like, man, the full word is really on the scene, and it's veiled in flesh right now. And that's just really what I wanted to say, what I was excited about. But, man, just this message is for real in my life. It's first place in my life. Thank you very much.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Appreciate the sisters getting the baby shower together. No, that was a job, but it's beneficial to help Karen, AJ, as they get started. Appreciate Brother Jeremiah preaching Thursday night at the Little Bethlehem. Did a wonderful job. Talked about fellowship, and, you know, one of the thoughts that just kept coming to my mind was that, you know, more are going to get it over there than they get it over here. We spend so much time bickering and trying to fight and get everybody to get it, but there's going to be more people that get it right over there than get it right over here. So why even waste your time? Just enjoy fellowship.
That's
and
right.
Even Brother Branham said, I'd rather have you the right spirit and the wrong doctrine than the wrong doctrine and the right, you know, so switch it around. But I was looking at it and thought, man, I praise God for a revelation. So
amen.
Let's sing the song and get him up. Lord, I need you now.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. The same way I came before I leave. Lord, I need a change. Y'all can help me out now. We can do it. Lord, I need you now more than I ever have before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place the same way I came before I leave. Lord, I need a change. Let's sing that again. Amen. Lord, I need you now more than I ever had before. Lord, I need you today before I walk out the door. I don't want to leave this place the same way I came before I leave. Lord, I need a change.
Sing you another song. You deserve the glory. We can, if I can find it. If not, I think we know that, but we'll give him time to get it up there for us. But he does deserve the glory. I always think about the front part of the service. You know, it's doesn't cost anything to worship God. You know, whether you pay your tithes or not, you can lift your hands and praise God.
That's right.
Even if you don't think you sing good. Everybody else is singing with you. I'll cover you up. You know, I think about it. There's not a lot of excuse not to praise God at the beginning of the service. You got people doing it with you. They're not even looking at you because they're thinking about God for themselves. And I do know this. He deserves the glory. He deserves the worship. He deserves the praise. And I think we sing that key of A. if I got that down. You deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship and I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship as I bless your holy name, and you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. Yes, you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
Amen.
There is no the glory.
Yes, he does.
And the honor. I lift my hands in worship and I bless your holy name. You deserve the glory. And the honor. I lift my hand as I bless your holy name. For you are great. You do miracles so great. Thank you for everything you've done for us. You deserve the glory, the praise, the worship. Oh, where would we be without your love, mercy, and grace? Thank you for this revelation, for taking care of us, for leading and guiding us, and paying the price, Lord. Thank you for this gift that we have of eternal life, that we understand we always are part of you, that we come from you and we're going back. Thank you for another service, another opportunity to worship you and praise you and hear from you. Talk to us this morning, Lord. Preach to us. Have your way with the service. I always say, I might have some notes up here, Lord, but you're the one that just have your way. Be with your bride around the world, Lord, and service is coming up, Lord. If we even make it there, be with them. Lord, we continue to bring Brother Trevor before you. I ask that you touch his body. Lord, just be with this body here, Lord. You know the needs. Touch the eyes that need touch. Touch the hearing that needs touch. Touch the pain that needs touch. Lord, touch the unspoken request. Lord, you said by your stripes we're healed. Thank you for that. Once again, Lord, you deserve the glory and the praise and the honor. Thank you for everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be here this morning. And Moore's out of town with his family. So remember him in his prayers. Give him a safe trip and journey home. And like we always do, though, we're going to have a good time, whether he's here or not. And don't forget the announcements. Oh, we'd rather than be here with us. But if he can't be, we're going to have a good time. You would do the same if I wasn't here. We're going to do the same if you're not here. As for me and my house, we're going to praise the Lord. But remember, we got to get a sign-up sheet back there for bowling. We'll probably shift it out to June or something, so give us a little bit of time here. It so happened that the night that we reserved, they gave some of our lanes away, so we weren't going to have enough lanes. So we thought, well, we better move it so we can get everybody there to enjoy it. So we'll reschedule that. But we do have some services coming up. We got a week earlier than Easter, we're having our Easter services with Brother Tony and Joe Visa going to be here. 7 o'clock on Saturday night, 10 a.m. on Sunday morning, dinner to follow. And then Pastor and Brother Doug will be going to the Philippines directly after. So we'll be praying for all that. Had a good time at my dad's church on Thursday. It's always good to get down there, and they're enjoying the fellowship. And some of us come down. You know, they got enough room for a few of us to go down. If next time anybody wants to go, you just need to raise your hand and get in the car, and we'll take you down with us. We had a good time, talked about fellowship. That's what God made man for the first time. That's what he wanted, was fellowship. He didn't want to dwell alone. He talked about how, you know, he might have been the rock in the wilderness. He might have been the pillar of fire. He might have been a cloud by day, but he wanted to get in human skin so that he could have fellowship. And so we've made it hard over the years sometimes, the fellowship, harder than it needs to be. And God's helped us even here with that. And, you know, God just wanted to be able to get in some skin and say, let's talk about this word together. And maybe we don't see every scripture exactly the same, but that's not what is required. We, you know, recognize your day, this message is what the new birth is. It's not necessarily that we all see every scripture exactly right. You know, until God shows you the truth of the matter and reveals it to you, you can't see it anyhow. And that's in his time. But we had a good time. But there is no place like home. And don't forget, tonight we'll get together and do some more Bible study. You know, the areas that we're reading this week, you know, when I first ever time I ever read the Church Age book, it's a great book. If you ever had time, it's one of the best ones you can read. So many truths in there. You learn about yourself, you know, because you're connected to that body as well. And yeah, there's some history in there, but I always thought it, you know, just the way God used those messengers. And then Brother Bram would even throw a few others in there, Polycarp and St. Patrick and things like that, and how he was with them. And it always touched me, and always thank God. You know, these aren't just Old Testament stories. These happened here in the New Testament bride of Jesus Christ. And we have our own stories. So it's a really, really great reading, and I recommend it. And we'll talk about some of it tonight. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me over to the Amos, the third chapter. You guys know where we're going. Very familiar scripture. My title this morning is, Why Do We Need a Prophet? And I'm kind of excited to get to talk about it a little bit. You know, Brother Moore is probably, at least though I can remember, he's probably titled something like that 4 or 5 times in my time. I've listened to him and heard others talk about it. I don't know that I've ever got to specifically talk about it, so I'm excited about it. Because we did need a prophet. And before I jump ahead, let's just read. Because, you know, I'll say this real quick. You know, we might be in the message. And in the message, some people might tell you that there's a change of soul, and somebody else might say there's one soul with two natures. Some people might preach two comings of the Spirit, and others preach one coming of the Spirit, and different doctrines that we have. But the one thing that message people should have in common is they believe we need a prophet. Yeah. And why this is such kind of a big deal in some ways is this is really, in one sense, one of the big things that makes us different than a denomination. Besides that, we just are not an organization, and you got to be a Baptist or you're not going. We're not like that, but we believe we need a prophet. Amen. And we're going is a big deal, because some people would say you're a cult when you talk about prophets, and we're the farthest thing from it. But what I will tell you is the Bible's what tells us we need a prophet, whether you believe it or not.
That's right.
So let's go to Amos, the third chapter. It's in the Old Testament. And I'm going to just jump down to the main verse here, verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Amen. Now that's back there in a book that's actually not relatively a really, really long book in the Old Testament. And I was just doing some studying this week, and Brother Branham was even talking about Amos the prophet. How that, you know, in some ways people considered him a minor prophet because he had, didn't live very long, didn't stay very long, and his book's not very long. But he said, man, he sure did lay the axe to the root. Because, you know, he was talking about how he had a vision that Israel had left God and had taken creeds and dogmas, and he pronounced judgment on them for it. And they didn't love him for it, but he was right. As a matter of fact, Brother Branham said he was actually one of the prophets that lived long enough to see his prophecy come to pass.
Wow.
He said he lived and actually got to see that judgment come to pass. But here, this book, and maybe what we call a minor prophet, he put one of the important scriptures, all of the scriptures are important, but he put a key scripture in here about prophets right here in verse 7, that God will do nothing until he first reveals it to his servant, the prophet. Now, Brother Branham had different ways to say that, but if God is going to do something major, change a dispensation, he's going to first show a prophet. In the other times, you know, people get in such a disarray, or they get so many creeds and dogmas, and they've gotten away from the Word of God, what God will do is he will send a prophet to get things back in order again. That's how God does it, and it doesn't matter how old the story gets. The word is true and will come to pass no matter how much we think it's old-fashioned, no matter how much we think it's 2023. God will not do anything major until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets.
Amen.
That's his way.
Yes.
I'll just read a couple ways Brother Branham said it here because I think it's quite enjoyable.
Yes.
Throw in a couple goodies here. This is on the wings of the snow white dove. Brother Branham said, according to God's great plan, the word can only. The Lord God does nothing until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That's always his pattern. Has to be. When the seals were open, when anything else, any major event taking place on earth, God reveals it to his prophets. That's just the way he does it. This is in the rapture. God has always two in ages through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and all, and Elijah, and the ages gone by. When the ecclesiastical group would get everything all mixed up, he would send a prophet, raise him up from nowhere. He belonged to none of their situations, and he would speak the word. So God, if he was going to do something, he's going to use a prophet, Brother Deskins. He did it all through the Old Testament. We're going to work ourselves up to our prophet. But, you know, you think about all the prophets back in the Old Testament. When he was going to go down and lead him out of Egypt, what did he get first? A prophet. His name was Moses. And he dealt with him. And, you know, prophets have special characteristics. Just like believers have special characteristics. But let's talk about a prophet for a minute. They will only speak, thus saith the Lord, or they will hold still. You know, I was reading, you know, like I said, studying, Brother Branham says, man, you think it's a great thing to be a prophet. He says it costs you everything. He's like, you got to be willing to give up everything. Because what did Moses have to do? He left the kingdom that was going to be his next to Pharaoh. Could have had anybody do anything for him that he wanted. But he had to leave all that behind. And you know what? God called him out 40 years, I think it was, and dealt with him. Said, you got to drop all that education and all that thinking and all your riches so that I can use you.
Amen.
You know, if you study a lot of prophets, you're going to see that's the common, one of the common traits. They ain't got a lot. They drop everything. Brother Branham wasn't a rich man. He had to leave his family behind. We was watching the show, The Chosen, kind of enjoying it, actually. It's got Hollywood in it, but it also puts you a reality of, puts you back there with those men, those disciples that was trying to show their human side, how they were married, some of them, and had families. But you know what they had to do? They had to leave to go serve the purpose. And Brother Brandon, paraphrasing some of it, was talking about that's what a prophet's got to do. He's got to be willing to drop everything and go with God's vision. And that's what Moses did. And they're not going to be popular. Thing about a prophet is they will tell you the truth no matter how much it hurts. Amen. And when Brother Brandon was talking about a way of the true prophet, that's what he was saying about Amos. He said he was telling him the truth and pronouncing judgment, even though it wasn't popular. Right. And he says, you go to churches today, and they want to give you something that will make you feel good, something that's going to be popular, something in the modern way of thinking. Right. But when a prophet comes on the scene, he doesn't care if it cuts, if it slices, amen, if it hurts, he has to give you nothing but the truth. Amen. You know, when Brother Branham would come and rebuke denominations, he wasn't popular in the 60s. Billy Graham and Oral Roberts had a lot more people coming to their service. It was popular. Oral Roberts ended up getting a university. You know, they had more money than he had, but he had to stay with the truth. He chose the harder way. He got accused of balling out women. But he had to give the truth. He had to preach like Paul preached it. A prophet will stay on the word no matter what it cost him. Amen. And as we always say, whether we're guilty of what, as guilty could be, the word's still right. When he said a woman shouldn't cut his hair, you know what? That's still right today. When he said it in 1960. When he said a man should act like a man, it's still right today. When he said it in 1960, whether I do or don't, it's right. There's a prophet staking with the word. That's what, you know, you're doing a little reading. Brother Bram said, we had a prophet at the beginning named Paul. We had a prophet at the end in Malachi 4. Of course, we know that's Brother Branham. He said what we had was messengers in between, reformers. And he said, we haven't had prophets down through the ages, and that's why we got it all mixed up. Because reformers can give you the truth. They were used of God, and it preached exactly what they were supposed to do and did their job. But they do not have all the word like a real prophet does. He used Martin Luther as example. Martin Luther thought Jews should be killed off. And Brother Branham was so strong on Martin Luther, he said all Hitler did was fulfill what Martin Luther wanted. That hurts a little bit. That stung me a little bit, just so you know. He said, but Luther thought Jews were a disgrace because they killed Christ. He said, but you wouldn't find any major prophet say that. A prophet stays with the word. God blinded Israel for our sake so that we can get in. That's what Paul said to the prophet. He said, don't get too hard on them. God blinded them for yours and my sake. So here comes Brother Branham. He didn't curse him, Brother Jim. He stayed with the word because he's a prophet. He couldn't do anything else but stay with that word. He says, matter of fact, there's souls on the altar down through the ages that were Jews, and they'll be there with us. There's going to be 144,000 that will be there with us. The Old Testament saints will be there with us. A real true prophet stays with the word of God. That's how Brother Branham said you'd even test the prophecy, even in a gift of prophecy, not just a major prophet. Somebody prophesy something. The truth is in the pudding, man. It'll either come to pass or it won't. And if it doesn't come to pass the way they say it, it's a false prophecy. But if it comes to truth, then it's a true prophecy. And when God sends a prophet to announce something, it'll be word upon word right down the line. It won't be off to the right or off to the left. You know, God had to send a major prophet to get some things corrected down here. That's what he does. But these prophets have traits. First thing, and I got something written down here, they're going to stay with the word. And Brother Branham says they're seers. You know what a prophecy by definition is, foretelling something in the future. It's, you know, Isaiah said a virgin shall conceive. And Isaiah didn't even live long enough to see that prophecy come true. But you know what happened? A virgin conceived. You know, Brother Branham and I, it's been a while since I read Isaiah, and I couldn't go through every chapter and give you everything, but he said, Isaiah is a special book in the Bible. It has 66 chapters. He says, it's really a mini Bible. 66 chapters, 66 books in the Bible. He said Isaiah tells the whole story in it, basically. Amen. But Isaiah was a prophet, and he was a seer, and he was foretelling the future. That's what prophets do. Right. Brother, you know, I found that quote. Brother Branham says, you dream, and that's your subconscious, and it feels very real to you. Right. He says, what a prophet does is they're wide awake dreaming. Amen. Their conscious and subconscious is so close. Yeah. That they're wide awake seeing like you feel like a dream is, that's what they see. Yeah. They're seers. That's how God shows them things. Amen. The other thing Brother Branham said about prophets, just going through some things here, he said they are the divine interpreter of the written word of God. Yeah, right. Now think about that.
That's right.
They tell you what the word means.
Amen.
Now God's got to reveal it to you. We know that.
Yeah, right.
But a prophet will tell you what the word means. That's what God does. You know, he used Moses to write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. He used a prophet to do it.
Right.
And that's why we stick with what the prophet in our day says. Because he told us what the word meant. He told us the truth of it. He preached what Paul preached. Paul was a major prophet. And Paul stayed with the word. They tell you what the word really means. Brother Bram says they're a reflector of God's word. You know, I thought about that a little bit, and there's a lot you could say about that, but I thought Brother Branham couldn't get away with nothing. He couldn't get away with nothing. Not that we're trying to get away with anything, but that man couldn't get away with nothing. Even when he was young, don't ever smoke, don't ever drink, don't ever defile your body in any way. Now, I'm not going to have anybody raise their hand, but I don't know that any all of us could raise their hand and say we're innocent of all three of those things, Brother James. But you know what? He was a prophet. Now, there's a lot we can say about a reflective word, but God was using him to be an example, to show himself. He took oranges back to the border to declare him. God help me if I was, I hardly have patience for 10 minutes out of the way, let alone to go do that. But those prophets, man, they have to give their life up, Brother Deskins. You know, one thing I want to keep before us, because we're going to finish with some things. It's not that a prophet's any greater than any of us. Just a gift, an office that God's using. It's just God's word says, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to first show a prophet. But they're no more a believer than you're a believer. They're no more eternal than you're eternal. They're no more going to be at the wedding supper than you're going to be at the wedding supper. It's just something God uses. Just like he uses singers, just like he uses musicians, just like he uses preachers. They all have different roles. Now, it's an important role. I'm not belittling it. But I also want to just remind you, a prophet in one sense ain't any more God than you are. It's just God uses them. But they're a reflector of God's word. Brother Branham says they are born a prophet too. You don't just make yourself one. You're born one. That's what he told Jeremiah, right? While you're in your mother's womb, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. You got to be, you know, really we're born with what we're supposed to be.
Amen.
You know, you don't, it's God already puts in there, you know, it has to be quickened and it has to come to life. But it's in there to come out based upon the preaching of the word. But you're born a prophet. He said, because you know what Brother Branham was doing with people wanted to mimic it. He said, talking about people will always mimic a true prophet. They want to be spiritual. They want to be holy. They want to see visions and dreams. You know, I would love to see my loved ones this morning. You know, we would all sit here and probably raise our hand if God let us venture to beyond the curtain of time and get to see the other side. We all would enjoy that. But some people, there gets a spirit behind it. They want to get visions and be spiritual, and they want to see things and act like a prophet. And it's a dangerous thing to play with because you get lifted up and you get high and exalted. Then you start lying about things. God might even show you something the first time, and then you think you're spiritual, and you get exalted. And then he doesn't come back again because that's not really, you know, God really ain't majoring in all that spiritual stuff too much anymore. He's in flesh today. He's in manifestation today. It's just like when one time he used a pillar of fire and a cloud, but when the word made flesh showed up, he didn't need a pillar of fire and cloud. He had God standing right before you. And all that spiritual stuff is good. And it would be great if we could go beyond the curtain of time and see him. But this is really the Son of Man age where God's dealing with you face to face. This is the supernatural God standing before you,
Amen.
Talking to you,
Jesus.
Giving you word upon word, deity coming out of the mouth right now.
Yeah.
And when you can see a cloud and a pillar of fire, that didn't take faith. But it takes faith for you
yeah.
to believe that God's talking to you right now. If we all saw this come down and floating through here, we would rejoice, don't get me wrong. We'd feel good about it. It'd make us feel good. But faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
If I saw that, it's no longer faith. It's just make me feel good. It would be supporting my case.
Yeah, right.
But God expects you to have belief.
Amen.
That the word made flesh is talking to you.
That's
that he's
right.
Walking around in human flesh.
Amen.
And get beyond the veil. But I saw this, I saw that. God don't care. He says, I'm in that house.
Yeah.
That's my house.
Yeah.
And he wants that kind of faith.
Right.
But people try to be spiritual, want to see spiritual dreams and see visions. And really, we're told to just prophesy what our prophet prophesied.
Prophesy again.
Coming and bringing a new prophecy to me. The next prophet to be on the scenes when we're in heaven. Moses and Elijah will come back. I don't need one before then. I've already had mine. And until we're out of here, I'm not even worried about Moses and Elijah. They had nothing to do with me. They have to go talk to those Jews I talked about. I have the prophet I'm supposed to have. He prophesied what he was supposed to prophesy. And we're standing on that. And when we preach what he preached. And when we prophesy what he prophesies. That's the only way it works. I'm not trying to get a new vision, a new dream, a new thing. Now, if God was to come and say, Jeremiah, is the rapture's ready to go? That's our job.
That's right.
I'm ready for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the reason why I'm ready for it is the prophet came and told me the rapture's at hand.
Yeah, that's right.
The reason why I'm looking for it is the prophet come and said, this is the hour.
Right, right.
He said, I don't know of any other scripture that needs to be fulfilled but the going home of the saints.
Amen.
So I look for that. I expect God to deal with us, the bride, to get us out of here.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. But to come down with some big vision, the prophet's already come. But they're reflectors of God's word, born a prophet. And I have a quote, and I'll read this real quick, and then I'm going to move on to get a little bit more up to our date. Brother Branham said in the Super Sign, prophets are the chief sign. God's chief sign is a prophet. Now, I'm going to speak a few minutes about that. They are his word made manifest for that age, and that's the reason a prophet is always God's chief sign. He has never sent a judgment upon the earth without first sending a prophet. You know, we don't, because a lot of people don't believe in prophets, they don't accept Brother Branham. But Brother Branham was mercy in a lot of ways before judgment. God never calls a man to judgment without first warning him. Brother Branham said, come out of her, my people. Don't be partakers of her sins. Don't stay in those denominations. And that's what we take. Get out of those denominations. This ain't a denomination. You know, talking about fellowship, that's another problem with denominations. You can't fellowship with them unless you claim their denomination.
Right.
Go by their code of rules or their bylaws. That's anti what God wanted. God wanted to be able to fellowship and not be in an organization. But these prophets are mercy in some ways and their judgment. Just depends what side it is. They're coming to pronounce judgment, but they're trying to warn you sometimes before that judgment. Just depends on the situation. So those are some traits about a prophet. But going back, God does nothing until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That's why David, Brother Ramey used the story of trying to do God's service without being his will. David became king. He had the city of David. The ark hadn't been with the people of God for a while because Saul wasn't worried about it. So David had a good motive, good objective. I want to bring that ark into the city of David. So he goes down, and he does it, and that's where Uzzah or Uzzah died. Because he put his hand upon that ark and tried to carry it back when it wasn't meant to.
Right.
And the Bible will tell you, and Brother Branham uses it, said David consulted with all of his captains,
yeah,
all of his people.
Yeah.
He had wise people say, it's a good idea to go get that ark.
Yeah.
But where David messed up,
yeah,
is he had a prophet in the land,
right,
and he didn't go ask him.
Right. Amen.
That was Nathan. And all he had to do was go see Nathan, and Nathan would have told him how to do it the right way.
Yeah.
And Brother Branham says, I don't care how good your motives are.
Right.
How much you think you're doing, you got a revelation from God.
Right.
If it doesn't match God's word, if it's not in season, if it's not the message of the hour,
right,
you got to stay with the word no matter how good it feels or how good your motive is.
Right.
That's why Brother Branham said you can be sincerely wrong.
Yeah.
But prophets are sent to tell you how to do things,
right,
what you're supposed to be doing and when you're supposed to be doing it.
Amen.
God used Moses. He used Elijah. to rebuke Ahab and Jezebel, who had brought idols in to worship. Daniel prophesied some major prophecies even for the end time. His prophecies got even some of our modern day presidents in it. Khrushchev and was it Nixon or I forget, or Eisenhower? Yeah. But we have to go back and read that, get your details of that. But prophecies that they come true. God sends these prophets because that's what he does before he does anything major. He's always done it. John the Baptist, major prophet. And here was Jesus coming on the scene, which was something pretty major. But you know what God said? I won't do anything. I'm not even going to introduce my son to you without first giving it to a prophet. So who do you have on the scene? John the Baptist. God don't break his word, people. He stays with his word every time. Do you realize Jesus even come and said, "They're greater than John is here." Yeah. And it was. Amen. And John said, "I must decrease and he must increase." Right. And Brother Branham described Jesus. He said he was the God prophet. He didn't just have a portion of scripture. He was the whole scripture. Yeah. He was the very God himself in its fullness. Yeah. Jesus, in that sense, was greater than John. Yeah. But God is so great. He says, "I won't do anything until I first reveal it to my servants, the prophets." Amen. So he sent John the Baptist to forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ. Amen. Malachi 3, prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what John the Baptist did. He introduced Jesus there. He came to be baptized. He said, "I want to be washed you." And Jesus said, "No, John, the sacrifice has got to be washed." Yeah, don't get out of order, John. Stay with the prophecy. Stay with the word. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Amen. And you know what God was able to do? He fulfilled Amos 3 and 7. Said, "I can't even show you Jesus until I show it to a prophet first." Right. Oh, that gets me kind of excited. Amen. And Jesus was the one we all been waiting on. Right. Jesus was the prophet of prophets. Amen. He was the Son of Man. Amen. But God still sent a prophet to introduce him. Amen. That's his order. That's his way. Always has been that way. So now let's talk about our prophet a little bit. Amen. Let's talk about some of our scripture. So we're starting to understand why we need a prophet. If for no other reason, God will not do anything major until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. That's the simplest definition I can give you. That's God's way. That's God's order. That's why if the world had any understanding of the Bible at all, they would understand they need a prophet. They'll use the scripture, "Well, the prophets went until John." Problem with that, you can go to Ephesians 4, and it'll introduce prophets again. You go to Revelations, it'll introduce you a prophet. Jesus, Matthew 17, will introduce you to a prophet. You got to have a prophet, because God won't do anything first until he reveals it to his servants the prophet. Now let's go to Malachi, the fourth chapter. Last book of the Old Testament. I know some of you have been going to church here a long time. This is not new. It's not new to any of us, really. But this is good eating to me. It's part of why we believe what we believe. It's good to understand these things. And it's more than knowledge. You know, because it's more than just trying to give you an education. The fact of the matter is we needed a prophet in this day to get the word for the day and the hour that we're living in. Now, greater than Malachi 4 here is now. And we'll get to that in a little bit, but you still need a prophet. Malachi, the fourth chapter, starting with verse 1. "For behold, the day cometh that thou shalt burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And a day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, and I commanded unto him in Oreb for all of Israel with the statutes and the judgments. Behold," now listen to this, "I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Now that's some good reading, good important scripture. And I want to just throw a few things in there. Many people read Malachi 4, and a lot of people would tell you that's John the Baptist. Now there is one portion of Malachi 4 that is John the Baptist, but that's it. But Brother Branham made a point about this chapter. The earth didn't get burned off after John the Baptist was here. Because that verse 1 says you're going to burn as an oven. Judgment down to root and branch. He said that didn't happen when John the Baptist was here. So that means this is talking about another coming of Elijah the prophet. And it is. And what I'll show you in verse 6 there, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Brother Branham said John the Baptist fulfilled that right there. That's the part that he's in this chapter. But when it says the hearts of the children to the fathers, that's our prophet. That's the forthcoming of Elijah. That's Brother Branham right there. Because we know in this day and hour it's the end time, and we know the burning's coming. It's near time. It could happen at any moment. And our prophet has showed up on the scene. And his name was William Mary Branham. And this scripture said he was sent to restore. Or he was going to restore and turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And Brother Branham explained that our forefathers had the true word of God at the start of these seven church ages. They preached the pure word of God. Matter of fact, Paul was a major prophet. And he brought it word upon word. And he had the truth.
Yeah. Amen.
Then Ephesians, or Revelations chapter 2, it starts with that first church at Ephesus. And it praised him, but then it rebuked him a little bit. It says, I have somewhat against thee. You have left your first love. They had started walking away from what Paul preached. They had started walking away from what the forefathers had preached. The devil, grievous wolves had entered in. And started trying to introduce some false doctrine and take them away from the word of God. And I'm not going to go through all the church ages, but we know that they lost a lot of things. And that's why they took the seed in. That's why Luther came, and that was the start of restoration. Because they had got so bad that they believed in three gods. Baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Paying penance to get to heaven. New birth, you needed a sensation. They had all kinds of things mixed up. Worshiping idols and not even thinking they are. All kinds of things. Putting a pope on a throne. And all God did with Luther, who was a reformer, Luther didn't come back with the whole word of God. Luther just had a part. He was a reformer, but he did his part. And thank God he did. He said, the just shall live by faith. And that was the start of restoring back. And then Wesley came with more and brought more truth back and talked about a sanctified life. And then we got the gifts back. But they had it so messed up. But we needed a prophet to show up on the scene, Brother Deskins. I read to you at the beginning, either something major is going to happen or people get in such a condition they have it all messed up, God will send a prophet. And his Bible already told you he would. That he would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And that's what Brother Branham did under Malachi 4, is he preached it word upon word upon word. He preached what Paul preached. He took us back to the full written word of God exactly how it was supposed to be. He wouldn't compromise one iota. He wouldn't compromise for popularity. He wouldn't compromise for a meal ticket. He stood with the word no matter if the whole world rejected him. Oh, he was a real prophet. We know God used him. We know he was the one that fulfilled. Now, if you don't believe he was the one, then you better find one. Because here, let me tell you, God said he won't do anything until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophet. And this Bible right here says, I will send you Elijah the prophet. If it's not Brother Branham, you go find out who it is. Because otherwise, you're missing a scripture in the Bible. The Bible said, I will send you Elijah the prophet. And I believe he did. And I believe it was William Marion Branham, the seventh church age messenger. And God used him to restore back to the full word of God. So why did we need a prophet? To get us fully back to what Paul preached. What did Paul say? He said, if any man or an angel come and preach anything what I've already told you different, curse him. Galatians 1:8, I think it is where you can find that. Paul knew he had the truth. He knew he was sent by God. Let's talk about Paul for a minute. Do you realize Paul didn't walk around physically with Jesus? Peter, John, James, Matthew did. But not Paul. God had to kind of do with Paul like he did with Moses. Take him to the backside of the desert, so to speak. Say, I don't want man's thinking on this. I don't want somebody to think they're special because they walked with Jesus Christ. I want somebody that I've dealt with myself that I'm going to send to turn this thing to the Gentiles. And Brother Branham, as you're reading, he's talked about many people might not believe and know who the messengers were down through the ages, but most people will agree with you that Paul was the apostle of the Gentiles, that he was the prophet to the Gentiles. He brought it word upon word. And he said, if any man preaches anything that I preach, curse him. And you know what the church world did? They got it in such a bad condition again. Three gods, wrong baptism, on and on and on. And said, God, as he promised in Malachi 4, said, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. And he'll come back and he'll turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And that's exactly what Malachi 4 did. He preached it and got the word back to like Paul had it. He restored us back to our Pentecostal forefathers' doctrines and truth. He said, why didn't he just use a preacher, Jeremiah? We could have preached that. It's not God's way. Brother Branham said, God could have used the sun to preach. He could have used the stars to talk to you. But he chose the foolishness of preaching to confound the world, confound the wise. Well, he could have used the so-and-so and so-and-so, but God's own word, he said, I won't do anything until I first show it to my servants, the prophets. So we had to have an Elijah the prophet down here to get this word back in order, brother Isaiah. Now turn with me here to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Taking my time here with you guys, because these are some good reading scriptures and foundational scriptures. And I'm going to start with Matthew, the 17th chapter, verse 7. And Jesus came and touched him and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, Jesus was talking about two different comings of Elijah right here. Elias shall truly first come, future tense. And Elias has already come, past tense. And Elias that had already come was John the Baptist, the one we were talking about earlier that came to introduce Jesus in his first coming to prepare the way of the Lord. But the other one he was talking about, the one that shall come, he said, will restore all things. Now, maybe it's coincidence to you, but what did we just talk about? This prophet come to restore back to what the Pentecostal forefathers have. This Bible runs people, no matter if we're not smart enough to make it run. As Brother Mike was saying this morning, why he could answer the questions, thank God for a prophet to show it how it ran. Amen. Because really, to be honest with you, we wouldn't know to use Matthew 17 with Malachi 4 with Revelation 10 any more than the church world if a prophet hadn't been sent to tell us these scriptures and show these things to us. Because that's how God used him. And I thank God and I get excited, Brother James, to realize that I know how to separate John the Baptist from Malachi 4, realizing there are two different comings of Elijah the prophet. One come to introduce Jesus the first time. The other come to introduce him the second time. One come said, this is behold the Lamb of God. The other one came to restore back to the Pentecostal forefathers' truth. Amen. I can read Malachi 4 and Matthew 17 and tie them together and get the two Elijahs out of Malachi 4 and get the two Elijahs out of Matthew 17. Amen. Why? Because God sent me a prophet and showed me these things. We're starting to understand it with more detail now why we needed a prophet. Because the Bible told us we did. Yeah. You can keep it that simple. I don't get to make the decisions why we need a prophet. God said he just uses prophets. That's right. And he said, Elijah, I'm going to send him to you.
Yeah.
And he said, he's going to restore all things. And I'm just believe it.
Yeah. That's it.
Right. Amen.
Now, this is, I got to use the right word here because it's all important and part of the Bible. But this is a little deeper than Jesus coming hung on Calvary tree that the denominations have. Oh, that was the most important event we could have. Thank God Jesus come.
Right, right.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is denominations will point you back to Jesus came and hung on the Calvary tree, and we all wouldn't be able to make it if you hadn't.
Right, right.
We know that.
Come on.
This is more than just going to a denominational church and we got good music. This is more going to a denominational church and say, look at all the people and look at us all get along. We're talking about the Word of God and having the Word of God right,
amen,
line by line. Straight is the way and narrow is the path. Very few shall find. But thank God for a prophet so that we have it right down the line.
Amen.
This ain't church ain't just playtime or the popular thing to do. I'm here because I really do believe that God is in the scene talking to us and giving us the word for our very hour.
Right.
And I believe that word tells me I wouldn't have been able to get it if he hadn't sent a prophet.
Amen.
Church world today don't even know they need a prophet. Having church trying to do God a service with really without it being his will. Good people, foolish versions in there. Some of them will be in heaven with us. But they're out there and don't even know they need to be preaching what the prophet preached.
Amen.
Don't have a clue what Malachi 4 is about. Don't have a clue what Matthew 17 is about. But we do this morning.
Amen.
And thank God we do. So before I move on, God does nothing until he reveals to his servants prophets. He said in Malachi 4, I will send you Elijah the prophet. One was the father's hearts to the children. John the Baptist did that. The other one was the children's back to the fathers.
Amen.
William Branham, Malachi 4, our messenger for our day. Seventh Church Age messenger did that. And you can jump over to Matthew 17 and see the John the Baptist and Malachi 4 right there. Elijah shall truly first come and restore all things. That's the prophet we had in our day. That's Brother Branham. Now, very familiar quote. I'm going to throw this in here now. This is in the Church Age book. If you do your reading this week, not that it's a law, but if you do your reading, you'll find this in the section of Laodicean Messenger. Brother Branham says, now this messenger of Malachi 4 and Revelations 10 and 7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Exactly so. So this messenger of the last day, Brother Deskins, come to do two things. Now, many people stop at Malachi 4 in a lot of ways, and they magnify Malachi 4 only. Now, Malachi 4 had to come first and restore all things. But don't stop there. You got to go over to Revelations 10 and find that same prophet having another job to do. Before I talk about it, let's go over there and read. Just to throw a few things in. Throw some witnesses. Then we'll preach some more. Revelation, the 10th chapter, in verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. But Abraham said that mighty angel was Christ in spirit form. And cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer, But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Now, Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, in the same section, that Laodicean messenger, he says, what's in those thunders, nobody knows. But we need to know. Because realize, God uttered something and John was told not to write it and seal it up. And Brother Branham says, we need to know. And then what did he say right behind it? It will take a prophet to show you these things. Now we realize the Lord himself come down to the open book and dealt with Brother Branham. But like God said in his word, I won't do anything until I first reveal it to my servants the prophets. Because this age went from just Malachi 4 to introducing the Son of Man, the God prophet. And Brother Branham was the first fruit of this age of getting the understanding. Because he was a prophet, and God said, I got to give it to him first to show my prophets first. Because this had been hid since the foundation of the world, Brother Branham said. Even Paul didn't know what these seven thunders uttered. Matter of fact, this book of Revelation was written after Paul had died. And Brother Branham said, but we need to know. And God himself, Jesus Christ himself, come down and give this to Brother Branham. Because God always says, I'm going to use a prophet first. And that is the second thing, that job that he was to do. He did Malachi 4. He restored all things. But now he was going to preach to us these hidden mystery truths. And what it was going to do was reveal Christ on the scene again. Oh, that gets me excited. But the Bible clearly says he declares it to his servants, the prophets. Another reason why we needed a prophet in this day is we wouldn't have got the seven thunders without it.
Amen.
Why? Because God does nothing. So he first shows it to his servants, the prophets. Now, on the other hand, it took God to show him. Because we know that. It was head back in God's mind. God had to come down and give him the revelation. But God's had to give anybody revelation all the way down through the ages. But here was our prophet standing there. He took the book, first fruit of the age, and was able to start with the open book in his hand, say, this is what the seven seals were. Here's what the seven thunders are. And he started preaching a word up on word. That was a major thing. Another major event. Another big deal. And what did I start off with? God doesn't do anything major, anything too big, Brother James, until he first shows it to his servant, the prophet. And Brother Branham said that those seven thunders, you know, we're going to get to us a little bit. It revealed the Son of Man. It revealed Christ coming back a second time to come back and get that what he redeemed, that he was going to be in a many-membered bride body. Oh, this thing gets a little bit real to us now because, yeah, we had to have a prophet to first get it. But God wasn't just going to stop at a prophet in this age. He was going to give it to a many-membered bride body. And, yes, he was the first fruit of the age. But we are like John. We took that book from him and we've eaten it. And now the Bible, if you keep reading, says we are to prophesy again.
Yes.
Right. What he introduced again, Brother Destin, was the God prophet on the scene again. The Son of Man. The fullness on the Word. The complete revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what he used that prophet for. But it didn't just stop at William Branham this age. It's carried on into a bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we are the very manifestation of the Word of God for the hour with the fullness of the Word. Prophesying just like he prophesied, saying the same thing he said.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, the Spirit and the bride say come. He said, the Spirit, the bride, and the prophet will be saying the same thing.
Amen.
Because what they will be saying will be in the Word of God.
Amen.
Oh, we got these seven thunders. Christ come down and you give it to a prophet. The prophet gave it to us. Now we have it. Why do we need a prophet? Thank God we got a prophet. Because as John the Baptist forerun the first coming of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham forerun the second, and now he is here again.
That's right.
Oh, it's why we don't always talk about a prophet anymore. Because they're greater than Malachi 4 is here now.
Yeah.
Oh, we needed a prophet. We couldn't have been here without one. I want to make sure you drive that point home. We preach exactly what he preached.
Yeah.
We prophesy exactly what he prophesied. And we wouldn't have what we have without that prophet. That's what I was getting ready to go to.
Yeah.
The shout, Thessalonians 4.
Yeah.
I have a quote up here. It was a message.
Yeah.
And that was Malachi 4 or Revelations 10 and 7. The shout was the message of the hour.
Right.
But thank God it didn't stop there.
Right.
It became the voice of resurrection.
Yes.
In the bride.
Right.
The final voice to the final
yeah.
age.
Yeah.
Oh, we need a prophet to get here.
Yeah.
But once he himself is here, the prophet decreases,
yes,
and the word himself, the Lord, increases.
Amen.
Oh, that's why now, oh, we still talk about a prophet because it is part of our message. Well, we don't talk about it every day because God didn't just stop there. That's the problem with some people in the message.
Amen.
They put it all on Brother Branham. I saw this video on Facebook the other day. It's a tape ministry message church. Pulpit, nobody standing there. Picture William Branham with the pillar of fire over his head right behind the pulpit. And they hit a play on the tape. See, that's unbalanced too.
Amen.
Oh, we needed what he brought.
Sure.
But when he passed, the Lord didn't die. He said, you brothers take it and break it down to the people. You go prophesy again. That's where we are today. Oh, we need a prophet so we could have the word restored. We need a prophet so God could give the seven seals to him and he could open it up through him. But thank God, we're the recipients of that. We have eaten the book, and now that word is in the bride of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man on the scene again. Oh, I want to slow down a little bit because you can go over some good eating too fast. I'm guilty sometimes. I eat too fast sometimes. Get in a hurry. And they'll tell you sometimes, slow down and enjoy the taste. But I want to slow down and enjoy the taste. Thessalonians, the fourth chapter. Let's go read that for a minute. Because that's what this opening of the seals brought to us. It brought on the rapture. It revealed the Son of Man. But let's show up where that prophet shows again, but let's show where it's at now. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now listen to this next verse. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now that verse 16 says the Lord himself shall descend. Who came down in Revelation 10 and 1? That mighty angel. He come down with an open book in his hand. That's why Brother Branham said our message in this day really is the Holy Spirit. Because he's the one that came down to give those seven thunders. As I said, the part Brother Branham plays is he just does nothing until he first gives it to his servants, the prophet. But God come down with that book. And he said, that rapture, Brother Branham says, is going to come with a shout. And he said, what is a shout? It's a message. And I'll read a quote just to back this up. He said, that's a prophet bringing a message to you. And that's what our prophet did. He brought the message of the hour. But that's not the only part of the rapture. There's a voice of resurrection. Brother Branham said that same voice that said Lazarus come forth is the same one that will be in the bride of Jesus Christ. And it's not because I'm shouting this morning that I'm proving on the voice. It's just the word of God for the hour. That's the very voice of God. It's deity coming in our mouth, whether I whisper it or not. It's the word. It's the revelation. And the bride has that. And it's why we say we are the final voice to the final age. And a trumpet is a gathering to a feast, a call to a wedding supper. And the thing about it, really, they're all three in one sense, the same message, the same word. Just turns, Brother Branham, and God used just to express to you what's happening. One is I'm going to send you a prophet with a message. Two, that message is going to be the bride. And three, you're going to go to a wedding supper. Oh, that gets me excited. But notice the first part was a shout. God does nothing until he first reveals it to his servants, the prophets. We needed that shout. Brother Branham come and fulfilled that. But now it's in a voice of the bride, and we are the final voice to the final age with the message of the hour. We have that because a prophet gave it to us. But now it's in our hands to go out with the word of God to prophesy again. Oh, that gets me kind of excited. That's why I said this is good eating. Oh, the prophet came first, but don't stop there. He's dead. But God is still alive. The Lord himself still alive. And he introduced the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that prophet's decrease, and now it's all about the Son of Man again.
Right.
The Word made flesh in a many-membered bride body.
Right.
That's what the message is about now. Yeah, a prophet come and introduced her,
right,
but now she's on display now. She's standing on her feet. oh, we need a prophet. And hopefully I've explained that. God does nothing until he first shows it. He had to send him to restore.
Amen.
Even when he came down in Revelation 10, he gave it to a prophet first. He was the shout before in that verse right there. We had to have a prophet. But why you don't hear us talk about that every single service is God's in a many-member bride body. He's the Son of Man now. The God prophet's on the scene. The voice is in the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You're the one with the message now. You're the one that walks out and the world can see and touch God and handle God. You're the one manifesting God to this day and hour. And we got introduced and got married, so to speak, by our Eliezer. Got united with Christ himself. And just to tie it back, God first showed to the prophet. But here we are now, standing on our feet. The rapture, 1965, Brother Branham says, the first thing, he says, a trumpet voice, he got it back, he said, a shout, and then a voice and a trumpet. Shout, a messenger getting the people ready. That was Brother Branham. That was our prophet. Second, the voice of resurrection. The same voice, that a loud voice, St. John 11:38-44, that called Lazarus from the grave, getting the bride together, and then the resurrection of the dead, see, to be caught up with. Now watch, three things take place. The next is what? A trumpet. A shout, a voice, a trumpet. The third thing is a trumpet, which is always at the Feast of Trumpets, is calling people to the feast, and that'll be the bride's supper, the Lamb's supper, with the bride in the sky. That's where we are today. Thank God he sent a prophet to open up that book to us. He come down. Christ is the one come down to open the book. Gave it to his prophet. Prophet preached it to us. Now we've eaten the book. And now we are the very message of the hour. Now we know we need a prophet. That's what makes us different. But I'm going to tell you a few statements we've heard here at church. I meet people now. I don't necessarily say William Branham, William Branham, William Branham, William Branham. They just need to know me.
Yeah.
They need to know you.
Yeah.
Now, if they come around us long enough, they'll hear about William Branham naturally. They'll hear us read a quote about William Branham. But they don't have to meet William Branham to get to go to heaven. They're meeting Jesus Christ himself.
Amen.
In and through his bride. Like we always say, that simple scripture. When did I visit you, Lord? When did I give you water? When did I do this? When you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. God is in his people. And not just with part word, we have a full word understanding.
Amen.
And we know how to handle every person we meet.
Yeah, right.
And when I meet people, the first thing I say to them is not, William Branham, William Branham, William Branham. That's even if they want to talk about the word first.
Right.
But if they want to talk about the word, the first thing I don't tell them is William Branham. I just start talking about the word because the word and I are one.
Yeah.
And they know there's something different about us.
Right.
And say, there's something different about that person. Because why? Because God's on the scene.
Right.
And if they meet me, it's as good as meeting God. If they meet you, it's as good as meeting God. That's where we are today.
Right.
Oh, you come around long enough, you'll hear about William Branham. Because we preached and prophesied what he did. But I'm here to tell you, greater than Malachi 4 is here. He himself's here.
That's right.
And as Mrs. Jesus Christ. You want to see God today, you're going to see him in his body, in his church, in his bride. Did God use a prophet to get us here? Sure did. But he's here now. Jesus said John was no greater man than Shiloh than John. He said he was a burning light for a season. But eventually he said, but a greater than John's here. And that's where we are now. Oh, Malachi 4 had to first come. He had to restore all things. I got to stick with the word. God does nothing until he reveals to his servants and prophets. That happened. That had to happen before we could even be here talking like we're talking. But that's happened. That scripture has been fulfilled. Right before your very eyes right now is the voice of resurrection talking to you.
Amen.
And it's in each and every one of us. Oh, yeah, that prophet had a great role. But so does us. So do we.
Yes.
They cannot be made perfect without us. They're waiting on us. We're the ones with the voice of resurrection. He's doing it in and through us. We're the ones calling them forth. We're the ones that's going to say it's time to go. We're the ones that says, why do I have to still be here? We're the one. With the message of the hour, Brother Duskins.
Right.
It's in and through the bride now. Brother Branham said the spirit, the bride, and the prophet will be saying the same thing. We got it now.
Amen.
Oh, my message was why we need a prophet. And I wanted to hone in on that. But I don't want you to leave here also to think that's all the message stopped at. He come to introduce us.
Yeah,
He come to introduce the bride. He come to let us know who we are. Say, this is about you. That God wanted to fellowship, and he wanted to be in a many-member bride body. And we're here this morning, and we're the voice of the resurrection. And Paul said, those that are asleep won't prevent. Those that are alive and remain won't prevent them which are asleep. Oh, we're going to get them up. They're sleeping right now, but we're going to unite with them.
Amen.
And we're going to go meet the Lord in the air and go to the wedding supper.
Amen.
That gets me excited. There was a prophet at the start of the ages, prophet at the end of the ages. And you know what's on the scene now is the God prophet again. The Lord himself. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. The whole word of God. When Brother Brand was trying to describe the difference between a major prophet and the God prophet, and I'm just going to say like he said, a major prophet will come and give you a portion of the word that they're supposed to prophesy about. But when Jesus Christ came, he was all the word. The fullness of the word. The completeness of the word. And you know what's on the scene now? It's more than just a prophet. It's the God prophet walking around in a many-member bride body in you and me. And we always say it, all of God ain't necessarily here, but all 26 elements are. You get a little spoonful of that ocean, have everything in the ocean that the ocean has. When you see me, you see a piece of God. When they see you, they see a piece of God. He himself's on the scene again. The fullness of the word. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. The prophet introduced him, but he's here again. We're in the middle of the rapture now. Time to go home now.
Amen.
Let us be glad and rejoice. For the marriage of the Lamb hath come, and the bride has made herself ready.
That's right.
Oh, we had a prophet come and put the final touches on us to restore us back.
Yeah.
But once we're ready, he come down and marry us.
Amen.
And that's where we are now. He was like Eliezer, go and get him a wife. He went down and said, let me find one. She needs to be virgin. She needs to be pure. She needs to have the word, because that's who he's going to marry, somebody with the word.
Right.
Now, Eliezer said, we got to have this right, and we got to get the word like that, and we got to have that straight. Oh, we can't go riding in with that false doctrine. We can't marry with that false. I want somebody that's going to have the full word of God.
Right. Right.
Oh, and he found the bride of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Pure, virgin, full word of God. The amen's all the word of God.
Right.
And in the spiritual, we have married him now.
Amen.
We're like Rebecca. That lighted off that candle.
Right.
You didn't have to make me love him. You didn't have to make me serve him. I said, give me the book. I wanted it myself.
Right.
And when I saw him, I lighted off that candle.
Yeah.
Say, yes, I do. I marry you.
Right.
And one day, we're going to physically meet him in the air.
Yeah.
Like Rebecca met him in the middle of the field.
Right.
That story of Isaac and Rebecca, Eliezer went and found her. Rebecca chose on her own to go.
Yeah.
That's what we had to do. Yes, I'll serve you. I'll amen the word. And the bride did that. She got in the field. She ain't never seen Isaac before. The minute she seen him, it says she lighted off that candle.
Yes.
And they ran towards each other. And they met each other in the middle of the field. Oh, that scripture said we're going to meet him in the sky.
That's right.
Oh, I ain't just going to stay here. I'm going to light off this camel, so to speak.
Amen.
And I'm going to meet him in the air.
Amen.
And I'm going to physically marry him, so to speak, right there.
Amen.
And I'm going to a wedding supper.
Right.
Where I'll be happy forevermore. No parting, no tears, no sorrow. What a day that will be. Oh, God used the prophet first to do all that and show us those things and give us all that, because he does nothing until he first reveals it to the servants of prophet. But we're here now. We've identified the prophet. We got his message. Now it's one with us, and we're the bride he come to get, and now we're married to him, and we're going back home. Amen. That gets me excited. And they were building the body, and we'll talk about some of it tonight. Talk about how they did their job and did it perfectly. You know, the one thing that none of those messengers wanted, they were against the organization. That's one of the reasons why Brother Branham picked them. Is they were, yes, I forgot to tell you one section to read. It was talking about Paul, and Brother Branham says, the keystone of the Bible. He said, I picked all the messengers because of the keystone. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, forever. How he picked the first ones, how he'll pick all the other ones. And what Brother Branham was looking for, he said, Paul was so serious about the word, he said, I'm trying to find the person that was the most serious about the word all the way down, that was closest to Paul. And that's what he did all the way down through there. And they did their job. They built this body. We got all seven ages, and a prophet came, restored the word completely back. We made ourselves ready, married him. Oh, I'm going through that. There's messages you can preach on everything I'm saying right now. I'm going through it quick. But we know where we are now. We had our prophet. And now Mrs. Jesus Christ is on the scene.
Yeah.
That second, that prophet did come and do his job. He foreran the second coming of Christ and said, behold, the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And what was so great about Brother Branham was part of it.
Yes, right.
He was the first fruit of the sage.
Yeah.
He was rejoicing like you and me.
Amen.
You know, he was no different than John. He was looking at a closed book. He wasn't even worthy to look in.
Yeah.
No matter how good he was. No matter how much God had said, don't defile your body, don't smoke, don't drink. He was not worthy to look into that book. But God said, I won't do nothing until I show my prophets first. The Lord himself stepped forward.
Right.
He was the one worthy to open that book. He opened the book. The Lord himself is the one to open the book.
Right.
Let's say that. The Lord opened the book. All he did is come down with an open book and gave it to our prophet first to stay in the order of his word.
That's right.
Then Brother Branham looked at the book, and really he was a lot like you and me. He was rejoicing. Saw his name in the book. Saw the portion of the scripture he's fulfilling. Saw his name in there in the word. And he rejoiced like you and I are rejoicing this morning. Oh, this thing gets me excited. Last thing I'm going to say is one day when we're out of here and we're at the wedding supper, God will send two prophets, Moses and Elijah. Brother Branham said the Jews only believe their prophets. If you read Revelation 11, it'll talk about the signs and wonders they're going to do, and they match exactly Moses and Elijah. And Brother Branham taught us they were Moses and Elijah. One time somebody thought, oh, you think it's Enoch and Elijah because they both raptured and didn't die, and Moses died. He said, but remember, Moses was up on Mount Transfiguration. He's the Lord of the living and the dead. God can bring him up and have him do the job. God's going to send those Jews, 144,000, those two prophets, Moses and Elijah. He does nothing until he first reveals to the service the prophets. We'll be in the wedding supper. That'll be a message for the Jews. We'll be in the palace. Then the Lord himself will come and reveal himself to them. And then they'll come meet us in the millennium, and we'll have a good time. Oh, won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Joyously singing. Heart bells ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? We needed a prophet. God does nothing until he first shows it to his prophet. Anything major, any judgment, any big change, he's going to show it to his prophet first. And in our day, he sent Malachi 4 to restore the word and get us back in order. And in our day, Revelation 10 and 7 was the first fruit of this age that he gave the open book to. Because he gave it to the prophet first. And the prophet preached it to us.
Amen.
Jesus is the one to open the book. But he gave it to the prophet. The prophet gave it to us. But thank God, because we had a prophet, we know who we are. Now we're the one talking with authority.
Amen.
Saying, you want to see God? Look right here. Oh, that gets me excited. God bless you. Come on, musicians.
Amen.
Remember the announcements? Come back tonight. You know, I get excited. When I was young, I read that church age book, and reading about those messages always got me excited a little bit. The mighty works they did. So we'll have fun tonight talking about some of that. Of course, we ask questions, do whatever we need to do. But come back tonight. Thank God for all his many blessings. We're going to sing What a Mighty God We Serve, page 66 in the course book, key of G. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. The angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God.
You're dismissed.